X-Ray.
Welcome to Oh My Dollar, a personal finance show with a dash of glitter. Dealing with money can be scary and stressful. Here we give practical, friendly advice about money that helps you tackle the financial overwhelm. I'm your host, Lillian Kerr-Bake. Let's talk about money.
And I'm Will, the other host.
Today we have some listener questions. So we've had a lot of guests recently, and we kind of have a backlog of listener questions writing in. And they all kind of ended up coming around budgeting. So we have a bunch of different questions about budgeting, probably because we talk about budgets a little bit.
Yeah, back to our basics, our bread and butter, budgets.
Always. So yeah, I thought we'd just dive into some listener questions.
Tamis asks, what are some non-obvious ways to reduce my spending? I went over my budget 100 times. I know I spend too much, but I can't seem to reduce it or want to reduce it in the wrong places.
That's a great question. So, you know, I've said on before in the show that I think most people kind of, if they feel like they're spending too much money, they kind of secretly already know.
Mm-hmm.
But there are cases sometimes where you really go over with a fine tooth comb and you just don't see where you can reduce the budget. There's two possibilities in this situation. One is that you're pretty out of step with what is a need versus what is a want.
Yep, that's true.
And you kind of have trouble picking out what is non-essential versus essential. And that's, some people are just like that. A lot of that kind of comes down to personality and the way you were socialized around money. And you shouldn't feel shame over that if that's true. The other case that could very well be is that you have an income problem, right? So if you are fine-tooth combing your budget and, you know, the numbers still just aren't lining up at the end of the month, it could be that you don't have enough income to support what are the essential expenses in your life.
Right. So finding more income would help resolve that.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm going to address kind of the first scenario. I think figuring out how to increase your income can be a really, really essential part of a personal finance plan, especially if what a lot of people in the personal finance field call the big three are high. So if your big three are housing, food, and transportation.
Okay, so kind of all of your essentials to be a living, working human.
Right. And, you know, another one that is might seem both obvious and unobvious is debt repayment. So if you have very high student loans and, you know, I have some lawyer friends that make great money, but they're putting out $1,200 a month in student loan repayments. If you've got really high debt repayment, it may be that you just don't have a lot of wiggle room in your budget because you've got a lot of debt that you've got to attack. But another case when it might be, you might be on the income side, is if your housing is just really high, right? So, you know, we live in Portland. Portland was once known for having cheap rent and rainy winters, and one of those is gone.
Right. I can imagine that increasing costs would, increasing housing costs would gradually cut into your budget pretty sharply.
Yeah, if you make the median income and you live in a big city, you might really feel like you don't have a lot of wiggle room because either your housing or your transportation or both is really high, right? So if you're paying for a Metro pass at $200 a month and you live in New York City and you're also paying $1,500 a month to rent a room in an apartment, you might quickly find that a lot of your budget is gone and you don't have a lot of wiggle room.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that might be a case in which it's an income side of the equation. But let's tackle it if you realize I'm making good money. I just have no idea where it's going. The first question I have is, are you really budgeting? So that's because a lot of people say that they're budgeting, but what they're doing is they're setting up a forecast for themselves about how they plan to spend their money, but they don't actually revisit it after they spent the money. So they say, okay, you know, I'm going to spend this much on housing and this much on eating out. And you've got a budget, but it's not actually something that is a living document for you. It's an aspirational forecast.
Right, a plan you're not necessarily following.
So if you find that you're running out of money at the end of the month and the numbers say that you shouldn't be, then perhaps you need to look at the way you're budgeting. Maybe the way that you're budgeting doesn't work for your brain. We've talked about there's different ways of budgeting on this show. You know, some people really revel in the spreadsheets and really want to track every single transaction. And
Make graphs.
Yeah, like me. I really like the graphs. We've discussed this. Huh? I think graphs are very motivating. But maybe you've got, you know, I know a lot of folks that have ADD have a ton of trouble with the fine tooth comb numbers. And it's just too overwhelming. And then the budget doesn't work for them and they hate it, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the budget won't help you if you're not using it on a regular basis.
Right, and you don't want to start resenting right. having to budget.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Like we've talked about how if the budget method doesn't work for you, you should find one that does, because you don't want to hate the budget because it's not going to improve your life.
Right.
So, you know, one of the things, if you're having a lot of trouble figuring out where your money is going and you know that you're not going to line by line follow what you're spending, a good thing would be to switch to the envelope system. So the envelope system is where you pull out in cash whatever mm-hmm. your discretionary spending is. And I'm not saying your fun money. I'm actually saying everything that you have a choice in what you spend. So groceries are a great example. Like, it's really easy to overspend on groceries mm-hmm. and get, you know, not that much better of quality, especially if you go to the grocery store every day as opposed to once a week. If you're not doing meal planning, if you go to the grocery store hungry. I know I'm very susceptible to this problem. I live a block away from the grocery store, so sometimes I plan my dinner about 5 minutes before I go. And
You've got to.
Yeah, and then I walk out with a $11 dinner, which, you know, if I had planned ahead, I probably would have spent $2 on that dinner mm-hmm. Just by buying my groceries ahead of time. So the envelope system is literally pulling out that cash, figuring out what you can afford to spend, not touching your accounts, not touching your credit cards, and actually spending the cash out of the envelopes. So you've got a grocery envelope. You've got a, you know, bar budget envelope, if that's something for you. You've got a, maybe a fitness budget. You've got a gas budget. That's a really big one. And if you run out of cash in that envelope before the end of the month or the week, whatever interval you've decided is appropriate for you, then you have to take money out of another envelope. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't get to go back to the ATM and fill up that envelope with more money. And this is, I think, a really good way to check in with yourself, because I think a lot of times when folks say, I just have no room in the budget, I can't make it work, but I know I make good money, it means that they're kind of lying to themselves, right? Like, shame is not productive, but you got to be honest with yourself
right.
about what you're actually spending money on. If this really doesn't work for you, you can't do the cash envelope method, you can't do the spending fast, then this is the backwards looking. I really like forwards looking budgeting, because I think it's very helpful to plan ahead for your future and be proactive about it when uh-huh. you're calm. If that really doesn't work for you, here's the last option to figure out where the heck is my money going. Get out your bank statements, all your credit card statements, everywhere mm-hmm. you spend money at the end of the month. Do the end of the week if you spend a lot frequently, if you've got a lot of really small purchases. And I want you to highlight every transaction. And I, you know, pick up 3 color highlighters. You've got, don't go buy them.
Steal them.
Yeah, don't spend another $3 at Target on fancy highlighters. Use whatever pens you've got. But
underline with a pencil.
Everything that you consider a non-necessity, which for most people is going to be dining out. Mm-hmm. There are rare cases. So if you really, you know, you don't have a kitchen at home for whatever reason because you're traveling a lot for work, or you've got a health condition where it's just really not going to make sense for you, then maybe dining out is an essential. But generally, dining out is non-essential. And that and vacations are the two biggest things people waste money on. Electronics being the third. These are the discretionary things that add up over the long term. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I had a client who, you know, not making great money, was making minimum wage, and she had spent like $200 the previous month at Dollar Tree. She had no idea, you know, she added, they were all.
Right. And I imagine that would feel like it was adding up very slowly.
Right. Exactly. But, you know, the kids would go after work and or after school and they would pick up, you know, a couple candy items and, you know, they'd run out for school supplies or cleaning products. And it was $200 at the end of the month. And they couldn't even tell you what category it was in. Right. You know,
right.
Right. Dollar Tree sells everything.
everything that's a dollar. Yeah.
So, and I want you to highlight red if it's something non-essential. And remember, you've sat down and defined these terms for yourself. I'm asking you to define them for yourself. You know what's essential and non-essential. I want you to highlight orange for something that you felt was kind of regrettable.
Yeah.
You were like, you bought it and you looked back and you went, oh, actually, I didn't feel great about that purchase. And green for something that's essential. that
right, something you 100% needed to maintain your existence.
Yes, you're something that you need to sustain yourself to live. And when you look back at that, I want you to add up each of the color categories for yourself. You will very quickly identify what those big when areas are for yourself.
Hmm.
And maybe the fact is that it's housing or transportation, because those things really add up. Childcare as well. You know, maybe you feel like the budget's really tight because it is. Maybe you've got kids under 6 and you are spending 50% of your income on childcare. You're not going to have a lot of wiggle room. And that's okay. It's a temporary situation, right?
Right. Kids grow up. Yeah.
They grow up. They go to school. They get a little less expensive. Yeah. And then they need braces. But that, you know, that's a different story. I hope that kind of answers the question, because the real answer is that it really depends on the person. There's no universal hidden gem. But look at the really big expenses that are big for everyone. Look at your debt repayment and then have a conversation with yourself about where exactly you know inside yourself what it is that you're spending too much money on.
Right. And it seems like those at least one of those three techniques will be a good way to help identify those spending areas.
And take a step back if you need to. Just take a step back from spending money. I promise you will manage to get through a week spending nothing on non-essential goods. You can just buy food, housing, shelter, no clothing for a week and you'll be okay.
Mm-hmm.
you'll make it. I promise. Well, I hope that answered your question.
Good question.
That's a really good dovetail into our next question,
which is Sarah asks, how do you recognize emotional spending and how can you help curb it? That's a good question.
Oh, this is such a good question. I always cover emotional spending in the beginning of my Get Your Money Together bootcamp because it's really, really important. The first thing I want to say is that we all spend money emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's no one. I'm an emotional robot and I still spend money emotionally. You won't be able to escape it. I think one of the first ways that you can recognize it is look at that feeling inside of you when you are spending money. There's kind of some common phrases that I like to note that usually denote emotional spending. And
okay.
I actually have like a little printout that I keep in my wallet that has the list of emotional spending kind of phrases. And I use that to check in with myself.
Oh, cool. Okay, so what are some examples?
Here are some examples. I'll feel better if I buy it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't help it. I deserve it. Treat yourself. Everyone else has one. I just couldn't say no. I'll feel more secure.
Mm.
The thing to understand is that, you know, we've talked about how values are the basis of the budget. Emotions are not the same as values. Fear, impatience, lust, pain, grief, joy, competition. These are all things that are emotions.
Right. And all things I could definitely see you leading into making a spending decision you wouldn't otherwise.
Everyone does grief spending almost always, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you've suffered a huge loss, you will almost definitely have some sort of grief spending. You know, I was recently at a conference and I was talking with a woman there who had, you know, had a cancer diagnosis. And we were talking about how kind of everyone has a, this is my year expense when they get diagnosed with cancer, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have something that they wouldn't necessarily have done. You know, a family member of mine got diagnosed with prostate cancer, has a very good prognosis, but really did it up for the solar eclipse. Rented an RV, went down,
okay,
and sure. it was also his birthday and on the day of the solar eclipse. And,
oh wow.
You know, and so they really did it up as this trip of sort of like, this is an emotional reaction to cancer, but it could also be based in values.
Mm-hmm.
This person at the conference, her example was that she bought a really, really nice couch, like an outrageously priced couch she never would have splurged on otherwise, because she was like, I'm going through chemo, I'm gonna be spending a lot of time on the couch, like,
yeah.
I'm gonna upgrade for this. It's okay to make emotional spending habits, but one of the things that you can do is find a way to reduce those emotional spending by giving yourself waiting periods. So I'm a huge fan of waiting periods for large purchases. If you find yourself as someone who kind of does big purchases, whatever that means to you, for me, a big purchase is something over about $20, right?
Uh-huh.
That's the point at which like, oh, that really does affect the budget quite a lot. I give over $20, unless it's groceries, I give myself a waiting period of 24 hours.
Right, to think about whether or not it's something you really want, whether you can really fit it in your budget.
Yep. So if you find that you're spending money on cigarettes and you're not excited about it, right, and you want to kick the habit maybe for other reasons, finding a way to get what to serve that value, you know, community, connection, friendship, even just time out to yourself in a way that doesn't involve, you know, only basing it off that emotion, that pain of withdrawal, you might find that you can find a healthy substitute. So I think healthy substitutes are a big one with mm-hmm. emotional spending. Taking a step back and physical reminders are really good. So I'm a huge fan of the wallet size card that says stop. Are you angry right now? Are you sad right now? Do you really want to spend this? I used to have a sticker on my debit card that just said, do you really want this?
That's a good idea.
A little bubble. I don't recommend doing that now because it's hard to fit the. It's hard to swipe it in the machine if you put a sticker on it.
With the chips.
But you can also put a wrap around it, so you have to physically pull it off. And you know what your triggers are. Everyone does, mm-hmm. right? And if you haven't figured them out yet, just notice every time you have that moment where you feel a little bit of guilt about spending the money, but you also feel something else stronger. Figure out what that is.
Right. Figure out how to counteract that or make it work for you.
Yeah. All right. Well, hopefully that answered some of your questions about budgeting and emotions.
Yeah.
And I'd love to hear if you ended up with any budget wins out of this. Perhaps maybe you planned ahead at the grocery store.
Or even just a consistent change in habits could be interesting.
Thank you so much for listening this week. That wraps our show for today. Our producer is Will Romy. Our intro music is by Aaron Parecki. And I'm Lillian Kerbake, your personal finance educator and host. Please check out ohmydollar.com/Kickstarter and get yourself some cat-themed money workbook. And thanks for listening. Until next time, remember to manage your money so it doesn't manage you.
X-Ray.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.